Hello, and welcome to the preview episode of Applied FUSA, a podcast for FUSA pragmatists. With this episode, we aim not only to address one of the most important topics in functional safety, but also to give you a taste of what to expect. Practical guidance on how FUSA can be implemented in everyday work. Can. That's the key word. We're not claiming to have found the one universal solution. There are certainly other approaches. But the interpretations, guidances, recommendations and tips presented here are the result of over 10 years of hands-on experience in countless projects. We hope this will be helpful to many of our listeners. And now, enjoy this episode on the topic of safety culture.
Let us first consider, before we discuss the ISO 26262 requirements regarding safety culture, the definition of the term culture as found in the Cambridge Dictionary. It reads, the arts of describing, showing, or performing that represent the traditions or the way of life of a particular people or group. End of quote. Simply put, culture refers to the way in which a specific community or group of people does certain things, provided that this way is characteristic of the group and reflects its traditions or general way of life. Can we derive anything about safety culture from this? I believe we can. Three aspects of this definition are particularly important. One, it is about how we do things. And this how must have grown out of a tradition. It must have developed over time. Spontaneous ideas alone do not constitute a culture. A concrete way of doing things must have become established and gained a certain level of acceptance within the group in question. Two, culture is tied to a group. It is not about the way individuals act on their own. 3. What is especially striking is that culture does not require the group or community that developed it to consciously perceive it as such. It is the doing itself that defines the culture, regardless of whether this doing is recognized as culture by those who practice it. So, what can we learn from this with regard to safety culture? 1. There is no single correct safety culture. Each company has its own unique safety culture, which is defined solely by the way in which functional safety is integrated into its product development. 2. It is possible that safety-related activities are explicitly described within a company's product development process, PDP, and are well known to all employees. In that case, the employees would be consciously aware of their company's safety culture. However, even in the extreme case where not a single employee knows what responsibilities or tasks they have concerning functional safety, this does not mean that a safety culture does not exist. If the processes are defined in such a way that the resulting products are safe, according to a safety standard, then a safety culture is present. As mentioned, it's the doing that matters. These are some introductory thoughts on the topic, so far entirely detached from any standards. Let us now look at the requirements that ISO 26262 places on safety culture. There are 7 in total, and they can be found in Part 2, Section 5.4.2. 5.4.2.1. The organization shall create, foster, and sustain a safety culture that supports and encourages the effective achievement of functional safety. End of quote. At this point, we will assume that the goal of a safety culture is to ensure that both the product development process and the resulting products themselves comply with a given safety standard. In other words, a safety culture is considered to be in place only when all safety-relevant products fully comply with the applicable safety standards. But that is only the goal of a safety culture. Requirement 5.4.2.1 calls for the development, implementation, and maintenance of such a safety culture. Specifically, in a way that ensures all products can ultimately be considered sufficiently safe. As we established at the beginning, culture is primarily defined by doing. For safety culture, this means that product safety must be ensured through concrete activities. And these activities are typically described within a company's internal processes. This, in turn, implies that the processes must include all the activities necessary to successfully achieve functional safety. To ensure this, to develop a safety culture, it is necessary to analyze the existing processes with regard to their suitability and, if needed, to adapt them accordingly. However, requirement 5.4.2.1 does not only call for the development of a safety culture, but also for its implementation and maintenance. In other words, the processes must also be trained and actively practiced. Maintaining a safety culture means that all processes must be continuously assessed for their effectiveness through proper controlling and a well-defined continuous improvement process. The concept of state-of-the-art implies that processes, methods, and tools that are widely accepted today may already be outdated tomorrow, making ongoing adjustments necessary. 5.4.2.2. The organization shall institute, execute, and maintain organization-specific rules and processes to achieve and maintain functional safety and to comply with the requirements of the ISO 26262 series of standards. End of quote. As already noted in the discussion of requirement 5.4.2.1, safety culture can primarily be achieved through the establishment of suitable processes. This recommendation becomes a direct requirement in 5.4.2.2, again emphasizing development, training, and maintenance. Furthermore, and this is almost self-evident, the processes must ensure that all requirements of the ISO 26262 standard series are fulfilled. If a safety culture is achieved through suitable processes that encompass development, training, and maintenance, then requirement 5.4.2.2 essentially differs from 5.4.2.1, only in that the fulfillment of 5.4.2.1 is typically confirmed through an independent certification. As we will see, the following requirements also serve to further detail the first requirement of a safety culture. In other words, if requirement 5.4.2.1 has been effectively implemented, the subsequent requirements are usually fulfilled as well. The fact that these additional requirements are nonetheless explicitly specified highlights their particular importance. 5.4.2.3. The organization shall institute and maintain effective communication channels between functional safety, cybersecurity, and other disciplines that are related to the achievement of functional safety. End of quote. Functional safety can only be achieved successfully and effectively if there are efficient communication channels in place for the exchange of all safety-relevant information. This requires well-defined interfaces between all departments that contribute to the functional safety of the products. Communication channels in this context are not limited to verbal or interpersonal communication, as the term might suggest. It also means that all safety-relevant information must be exchanged in the form of appropriate documentation, in accordance with the quality requirements defined for document management. At this point, it is important to highlight the specific challenges posed by reorganization. Restructuring departments and redefining the overall division of labor represents a particular risk in the context of functional safety. The importance of well-defined interfaces for successful collaboration between teams must not be underestimated. If these interfaces are poorly defined, or worse, not defined at all, this constitutes an unacceptable risk to functional safety in every case. The relevance of both points is often underestimated. When departments are involved in the development of processes and methods, not only does acceptance increase, but the results are usually more effective, because the people contributing to the solutions are those with the most hands-on experience. In controlling, root cause analysis of deviations is of particular importance. A deviation may also indicate that a team has found a better solution. Auditors and assessors, in particular, should not immediately classify a deviation as a non-conformity. Instead, they should ask the team to explain the background. If it turns out that the team is applying a more effective solution, there must be a clearly defined interface between the audit and assessment process and the continuous improvement process. Only then can these improved solutions be incorporated into the next update of the process. 5.4.2.5. The organization shall provide the resources required for the achievement of functional safety. End of quote. As previously mentioned, processes that are designed to ensure functional safety must also be applied in practice. Otherwise, they are of no value. A necessary precondition for this is that sufficient resources are made available. This does not only refer to personnel, but also includes time, training, tools, licenses, and other necessary means. 5.4.2.6. The organization shall institute, execute, and maintain a continuous improvement process. End of quote. This aspect has already been mentioned, and its importance should by no means be underestimated. However, this applies not only to functional safety, but also, of course, to product security and product quality. 5.4.2.7. The organization shall ensure that the persons responsible for achieving or maintaining functional safety, or for performing or supporting the safety activities, are given sufficient authority to fulfill their responsibilities. End of quote. This requirement, too, is not specific to functional safety. Anyone entrusted with responsibility must also be granted the authority necessary to fulfill that responsibility. In the context of functional safety, this responsibility often lies with the safety manager. However, this role would be meaningless if the safety manager lacked the authority to demand the necessary safety-related activities. An effective escalation process is one way to ensure the required authority. Even more effective, however, is to proactively assign the necessary authority to the safety manager already during the planning and execution of safety activities. Summary: we have seen that a safety culture can, in the first step, be established through the definition of suitable processes and methods, because it is primarily about concrete doing, that is, the specific activities required to fully achieve functional safety. However, this alone is not sufficient. Processes must be effective and must actually be applied. This, in turn, can be ensured through independent certification, appropriate training, effective controlling, and continuous improvement. Note, this applies not only to functional safety. In particular, ISO 16949 aims to ensure that defined processes are also followed in practice, which is why regular audits are absolutely essential.
Applied FUSA, a podcast for functional safety pragmatists. Get your new piece of FUSA every other week.